Hey, good evening, guys, and welcome to Trim Radio and Life Walk with Christ God. Anyway, last week we were talking about the different reasons, laws of social order. Before that, we got into atonement for the priests, atonement for the people, laws of sexual sin. I mean, we were on a whole bunch, all the way from discharges of man, discharges of women. We are on today, page 145, Leviticus 20 in the King James Bible, the penalty for worshiping Moloch. And we already know, we've already been through, there is but one God. That's it. There are no other. Don't put any other gods before me. They don't exist. They don't exist at all. And he's making that clear. That's idols, that's worship, that's anything but God. Glorify God the Father, Abba Father, and Christ. And they are all in one. Christ, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, making up thus the Trinity. So let's get into this Moloch thing. So, and I'm sure we'll see Baal. I'm sure we're going to see some other things going on. But let's get into this, because obviously this is a problem from long ago. And we know this. This was happening to the 12 tribes as they came out of Egypt. First thing that happened when Moses was gone, what did they do? They made a calf. Okay? He was up. And we know when he was up at Horeb in the mountains and everything, or Sinai, he was up there and getting instruction. And all of a sudden, within 40 days, he comes down, and here they are, worshiping this false idol. And of course, God told them up there, "Listen, I've waxed hot with these people. I've had it with them. I'm going to consume them." And who had intercession for us? It was Moses. Don't do this. The rest of the lands of the people, after you've done this great, powerful thing, will say, "Look, they couldn't stand them either." And God relented. He eased off. Moses went down, saw what they were doing, and wiped out about 4,000 of them and said, oh okay, now I know why God is hot. And he took care of that. But let's get on to this penalty for worshiping Moloch. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, Whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones." Don't give any credibility at all, where you're going to be put to death. It's simple. "And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth his seed unto Moloch and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go a whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people." So here's the penalty now, and we're getting into this. Consulting spirits and different things. And I think that God is making it very clear here. "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him." That's for the cursing. I missed one behind it. The penalty for consulting spirits. "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards go to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord, which sanctify you. He's making it clear. There's no need to go to these people. If you have faith, if you have belief, if you have love, you want protection, go to God. Don't go to anywhere else. Oh, I'm a seer. Oh, I do all these things. I can tell you your future. I can tell you who you've talked to. I can talk to the dead. No. I don't even read the horoscopes or any of that stuff. That is basically the same thing. It's no different. You're consulting after make-believe stuff. Do you think that they really know because you're an Aquarius or you're a Sagittarius or a Sagittarius or a Gemini or something else? They have some kind of special knowledge? They don't. God has that. God makes you who you are. You are His fingerprint. So there is no need to consult spirits, wizards, seers, or all these things. And God's made it known. I don't like it. Don't do it. And He's made it clear. All right, so here we go. The penalty for committing sexual sins. And if you don't think that you do this, everybody does. If you look at a male or a female in any other way than moral, any type of, wow, she's good looking or he's good looking or any way that is not morally sound, then it is a sexual sin. If you're thinking that way, and everybody's guilty of it, we all are, okay? We all have those thoughts. It is, we're human, okay? And we all commit sin like that, and we do. So, but let's get into it, and hopefully this will clear it up, because this is kind of a big area. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, man and female, shall surely be put to death. And the man that lieth with his father's wife have uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. If a man lay with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death, for they have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with the woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. If a man lie with the beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. If a woman approaches unto any beast and lay down thereunto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. They shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, and he shall bear his iniquity. If a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and that she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Her monthly flow. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor thy father's sister, for he uncovereth is near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin, and they shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. It is important to remember this too. God is laying out these things, and you can see it. He's covering everything that goes on today. Everything is no different than what went on back then. We are all exposed to some of these things he's talking about. Christ went as far to say, if you're thinking about it, you've already done it. So that's a hard thing to swallow. You have to look down, look away. I mean, but we're human and we do make these mistakes. And these are the most common mistakes that men and women make. It is, especially in today's world, is a very sexual based world today. If you don't believe me, just look at TV, look at YouTube, look at everything. And you don't realize it until you read this over and over and over again. And then you start to realize, wow, okay, these are the things that I made my mistakes with. And I have to change myself, ask for forgiveness, and move on. We've all been there. All right, so the purpose now, the laws of sanctification of the people. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land, whether I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. And you shall not walk in the manners of other nations, which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. You shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, for which I have separated you as unclean, separated you from as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. He has chosen. These are his anointed people. A man or a woman that hath a family, or that has a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. These are choices. When you make these choices, there are consequences for it. There's repercussions for this, and God is making it clear. He's making it clear. And a lot of people in today's world, we do things, and the reason that we do them is there's no one standing right in front of us to say, that's wrong. If God were right in front of you every minute of the day, would you do some of the things that you do now? We make this mistake. We walk into this trap all day because God's not here to correct me along the way. But you do have a Holy Spirit in you. You have an advocate in you, which will always give you a way out. You just can't quench him or quell him from doing so. We have to listen and we have to obey. So that's some of the things that we do. You have to imagine God being next to you. So when you think these things or do these things, there's no difference on the act then versus the thinking. If you're thinking it, we know this from Cain. If you're thinking about this, you're inviting sin to come into your life. And if you let it into your life, then you've let it come to the door. If you let it come to the door, it's only a matter of time before it comes to fruition. So we have to avoid these things. Laws concerning priests. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the priests and the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the for the dead among his people, but for his kin that is near unto him, that is, for his mother and for his father and for his son and for his daughter and for his brother and for his sister, a virgin, that is near unto him, which hath no husband, for her may he be defiled. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people to profane himself. They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings on their flesh. They shall be holy unto their God, and not profane the name of their God. For the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and the bread of their God, they do offer. Therefore they shall be holy. They shall not take a wife that is a whore, or profane. Neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto his God. Thou shalt sanctify him, therefore he offered the bread of thy God. He shall be holy unto thee, for I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father. She shall be burnt with fire. Now the laws concerning the high priest, those were just the priests. The high priest, okay, and we're getting into this. Appointed priests, Aaron was high priest. A lot of us will say in the order of Melchizedek. If you remember Abraham running into Melchizedek, the king of Salem, okay, and he gave a tenth of everything that he had when he came back and rescued all the men and women and their goods and everything during that war. Anyway, and it doesn't really get into anything else with Melchizedek, but then you will see in the order of Melchizedek throughout the different areas in the Bible, okay, being one anointed by God, chosen high priest. And who is at the top of the order? Christ. Christ is the top of the order. So here we go. Laws concerning the high priest. And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not cover his head, nor rend his clothes. Neither shall he go up to any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mother. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God. For the crown of his anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. And he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow, a widow or a divorced woman or a profane or a harlot. These shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. Neither shall he profane his seed among his people, for I, the Lord, do sanctify him. And he's telling you, people prohibited from priesthood. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, saying, whoever he be of thy seed in their generations hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind or lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or any man that is broken-footed, or broken-handed, or crook-backed, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come near to offer offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come near to the offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come near unto the altar, because he hath a blemish. He that profane not my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron and to his sons and unto the children of Israel. God is holy. Would you give him a lamb that has a blemish on it? No. God specifically said that. You make me an offering, you give me the most beautiful, perfect lamb, goat, cattle, whatever, without blemish. So here we go now. Let's get into things prohibited by the priesthood. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord. Say unto him, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon them, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. What man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper or hath a running issue, he shall not eat of the holy things until he be clean. And whosoever touches anything that is unclean by the dead, or a man whose seed goeth from him, or whosoever toucheth any creepy thing whereby he may be made unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanliness whatsoever, uncleanliness he hath, the soul which hath touched any such shall be unclean until even, until it's corrected, and shall not eat of the holy things until he wash his flesh with water. He doesn't want him to participate as a priest in these things if that's what's going on. And when the sun is down, he shall be clean and shall afterward eat of the holy things, because it is his food. That which dieth of itself or is torn with beasts, he shall not eat to defile himself wherewith. I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep my ordinance, lest they bear sin for it, and die therefore if they profane it. I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And he's making it clear again. I'm the Lord. I sanctify it. I'm telling you the rules here. There is no stranger eat of the holy thing, a sojourner of the priest or a hired servant shall not eat of the holy thing, of the holy thing. Remember, these holy things, that's God. You're in the most holy of holy places, and what is given and up to God and brought down for the priests to eat, and Aaron and all them, God has rules on that. It's not for you and I. We're not to touch those things. Those things are laid out for those priests. That's the way it is. They go in and out of the most holy place. So here we go. But if the priest buy any soul with his money, he shall eat of it. And he that is born in his house, they shall eat of his meat. And if the priest's daughter also be married unto a stranger, she may not eat of an offering of the holy things. But if the priest's daughter be a widow or divorced and have no child and is returned unto her father's house, as in her youth, she shall eat of her father's meat, but there shall no stranger eat thereof. And if any man eat of the holy thing unwittingly, unknowingly, then he shall be put the fifth part thereof unto it, and shall give it unto the priest with the holy thing. And they shall not profane the holy thing of the children of Israel, which they offer unto the Lord, or suffer them to bear the iniquity of the trespass when they eat their holy things, for the Lord do sanctify them. So here's sacrifices that are prohibited of the priesthood. And we're on page 148, Leviticus 23, moving right along, verse 17. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel, or the strangers in Israel, that will offer his oblation for his vows and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering. Ye shall offer it at your own will, a male without blemish, and of beeves, and of sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever hath blemish, ye shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever ordereth or offereth the sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow or free will offering in the beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wren or scurvy or scabbed, ye shall not offer these things unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Either the bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering. But for a vow it shall not be accepted. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither shall you make any offering thereof in your land. Neither from a stranger's land ye shall offer the bread of your God or any of these, because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them. They shall not be accepted for you. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam, and from the eighth day and thenceforth it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And whether it be a cow or ewe, ye shall not kill it and her young both in one day. And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, it is at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten. Ye shall leave none of it for until the morrow. I am the Lord. Therefore, ye shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. God doesn't want any animals or anything. Here, God, I want to give you my gifts, and you're giving him something less than perfect. God is perfect. He doesn't want a second-rate offering. He wants the praise, the glory, the love, and the respect that he deserves. He's the creator. There's no exceptions here. He's very clear. He's making it known. And he's laid this out. Don't offer me less than what I deserve. I mean, what are you going to do? Keep the good stuff for yourself and then give God, here you go. Here's what's left over. No. I mean, you do that at your own peril. But that is not what God wants. God wants the very best. He deserves the very best. He created the world, the foundations of the world. He's the one that measured it out. He's the one that placed it. He's the one that has given us every single thing, including ourselves, our own lives. Give him the best. That's what he wants. So now we're going to talk about the weekly Sabbath. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. And here we are, the children of Israel again. That is how he sees us, as children. And, you know, Christ goes, unless you are like these little ones, like children, you will never be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. For that's why the kingdom is there, for little ones such as these. And God is speaking to us. He's right there saying, and speak unto the children of Israel. Not only are they his chosen, anointed, and everything else, but they are his children. And that's what we are. We're his children. So let's move on. And say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, in which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover, unleavened bread. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. So no meaningful tasks or anything like that. So here we go. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. Ye shall do no civil work therein. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you become into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, when ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow, and this and after the Sabbath the priest shall wave it, and ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf of a lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savior, and a drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. So now we're going to get into Pentecost. And here we go. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow, after the 7th Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring it out of your habitations. 2 wave loaves, 2 10th deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer the bread, 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. And they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid, the 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice for peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord, with 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priests. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings through your generations. And ye shall reap the harvest of your land, and thou shalt make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and unto the stranger. I am the Lord your God. The gleanings are when you're cleaning off the apple tree and you're picking the good ones and some of the apples fall, or the corn, the wheat, or whatever it be. Don't sit there and try to scrape up every single thing and walk out of the field and leave it completely parched. Now, leave that stuff alone. The poor will come along and they'll have something to eat. It is your harvest, that's true. But God gave you that harvest. So really, it's God's harvest. And God wants some for the poor. So here we go. Now the trumpets. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. And ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall shall offer an offering by fire unto the Lord. And now we're getting into the Day of Atonement. Are you starting to now understand why God is bringing out all the different statutes, all the different laws, all the different things that we are responsible to follow? That the Israelites were responsible to follow these things. He is their God. He is the Lord. I am the Lord. He's making it clear to them. But these things now also apply to everybody. We should be showing the same respect. But understand, some of these things have went away. Because if you remember in Isaiah, I'm doing a new thing now. Christ has also said, okay, listen. He takes six commandments, which are in the New Testament, versus 10 commandments, which are in the Old Testament, and breaks down those six down to two. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, all your strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Upon these two, these are the two greatest commandments. So Christ breaks that down. But we still have to, when we offer, it still should be the very best from God. When you pray, don't just pray. Is it going to be insincere? No. You want God to hear. You want to have a relationship with God. Are we having a relationship with Christ on our terms? Hey, I'll see you at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, but come 12 o'clock, I've got some golfing I want to do or something else. My time with you is done. And maybe I'll see you Wednesday night. I'll say my prayers at nighttime for you. I might not say them in the morning. I'll say them at meals. I'll put on this wonderful show. I'll wear this badge, you know, that I go to church. But are we having a relationship with God at that point? Is it going to be on His terms or is it on our terms? We have to get that straightened out. And it's a hard thing when, you know, once we get that going, because having a relationship with God cannot be on our terms. It has to be on God's terms. And learning that, that's the hardest thing I'm learning now, is everything that we do has to be on God's terms, not on our own. It just doesn't work that way. It hurts our relationship with God. It hurts Him a lot, because why He is glad to have any type of relationship with us, because He loves us, He's merciful for us, and we don't deserve it, okay? I mean, there's at no time in this world does any man, woman, or child deserve a thing, because we are impure, we are sinners, we're wretched. But to get into that mindset of having a relationship with God is the same thing as learning, studying, going through. And it can't just be once and say, okay, I've read the Bible from front to back, but you're missing the theological and philosophical meaning. And, it's poetically written in a lot of ways. You're missing the parallelism of what is being said in certain parts, how it is matching up front and back of the Bible with the 63,000 plus cross references and the meaning of these things. But we have to study them. We have to delve into it with a loving relationship with Christ God. There is no other way to have it done. And we suck at it. We're terrible at it. But we have to be able to move ahead and do this. So let's dive in now. Let's get back to it. Leviticus 23. We're on verse 26, page 149, King James, the Day of Atonement. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. And notice it says, we're making an atonement for us. God's not, we're correcting it. We have to atone for our sins. So that's what we're doing. For whatsoever soul it be, shall not be afflicted in the same day. He shall be cut off from his people. And whosoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. And ye shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at even. From even unto even shall ye consecrate, or shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. And on the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. Pardon me. That's it. The ending of this like cough that I had. So I apologize. Therein, 7 days, ye shall have an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. Now, the great thing about a study Bible, just so you know, to cut that off before I continue reading, I have a study Bible, a King James. I got it way back, 91, 92, something like that. And I could tell you it speaks directly in between the pages, the feasts of the festival, the Passover festival, the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of the Trumpets, the Feast of Purim, the Feast of Dedication, the Day of Atonement. It covers all of this. And it's wonderful, the explanations and everything in there, which I really like. Anyway, verse 37, page 152, Leviticus 24. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be the holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and meat offering, a sacrifice and a drink offerings, everything upon this day. Besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings, which ye given unto the Lord, also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall make, and shall take you on the first day the burrs of goodly trees, branches, palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows, and of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in the booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in the booths. That's the tabernacles. that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in the booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. Now we're going to start getting into a couple of other things here. I got to see where we're at and what time we're at here. I don't see it, but let's just keep moving on. So now we're going to get into oil for the lamps, the showbread, and let's see how far we get along. We're almost on chapter 25. We're going to try to make it there before we stop. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. Now the showbread, here we go. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in two rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord, continually being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto them of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. The law of the sanctified name in God. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and his son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. They fought. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, and the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward, and the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin, being responsible for it. It's what you do. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger, as he is born unto the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that killeth the beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth the man, he shall be put to death. Ye shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country. I am the Lord your God. And Moses spoke to the children of Israel. And you notice, to the children of Israel, he spoke to them. Moses is, in a way, the child of Israel too. But they should bring forth him that hath cursed out of the camp, and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. And I think that is where we're going to stop tonight. We're going to be on chapter 25, and I'm going to put this down, 6-9-2025. But you notice that God has no partiality. He's not biased. It doesn't matter who you are. You will be treated this way, and that is how it is. I am the Lord your God. You will be treated this way. So this rule isn't for, okay, well, you know, Aaron, Moses, or them could get away with it. No, nobody can. And you will all suffer the same great wrath, because that great wrath is coming from God, the Lord God, the Most Holy. That's another thing that we do in, you know, today. We say curse words, don't even think about it, and these things just roll off of our tongue. And we don't give it a second thought. We get frustrated and we have cursed the Lord. And of course, Christ has pointed that out in the New Testament that, you know, you curse Christ or you curse God, it will be forgiven. But if you curse the Holy Spirit, it will never be forgiven. Understand, you will not do that. He's very clear on that. And we have people that do this to the Lord all the time. Every evil thought that we have, if you're thinking it, if you're thinking bad about your neighbor and you're thinking it any other way, you've already committed murder in a lot of ways, because you've already thought ill will towards that person. We have to change our mindset. Remember, we're fighting a spiritual war. You know, principalities, we're fighting this war against the hardest enemy that there is. And I've come to the conclusion that the more he picks on me is because the more that's at stake for him, as far as, you know, He definitely doesn't like it when I draw close to God. And he'll do it any which way he can. I don't know about you, but I found that, and it's just something that I've noticed over time, is the closer that I become to Christ or to God, the more I'm in for it. You know, the more I'm going to have all these secondary thoughts and third thoughts of I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, or anything else. And, you know, why would God choose me? We have to look at it from a different perspective. Okay. If I'm doing or getting in the right direction, that's when he seems to come out and try to hinder me the most. And that's how it should be for all of us. So at the same time where you're stressed, you're worried, you're fearful, and every one of these things, relax. Take a deep breath. Because obviously you're making headway. You're strengthening your relationship with Christ God. You're bettering yourself. Because why would he be wasting time? Why would Satan be wasting time with you? It takes away from him. That's why Satan comes here, to steal, kill, and destroy. He steals your relationship from God. For some, before they can even start it, he then kills you, because he takes that word and, you know, kills you, because he's crushed that relationship. And then how does he destroy you? Well, he takes your name, your soul, out of the book of life. So it does follow in a line: kill, steal, destroy. So understand that. And, you know, I'm going to wish you all the best week. We'll get back on this next week. Leviticus is an extremely hard group of books in the Bible. Psalms is another one. Proverbs is another one. There are some areas in there that are very, very hard to read and understand. At least I'm finding it that way. But again, I'm no pastor, priest, deacon, or anything. So ask your pastor, your priest, your deacon, your clergy, your rabbi, whoever, if you're having trouble going through these parts. They have a wealth of knowledge. You know, I'm just a guy that loves to read the Bible. I enjoy it. I want to share it with you and let it take root. That's what I'm hoping. For both our benefits, let it take root. Okay. So anyway, thanks for joining in. I will catch you guys next time on Life Walk with Christ God. Thank you for tuning in to Trim Radio Network, oltrimradio.com. Anyway, we have some great shows coming up this week. Don't forget about Stu Share, Live Laugh, or whatever. Just ranch it up. Some of the other ones that are going on, fishing in Florida. And then, of course, we've got Red Pill Reality Show. We've got a bunch of shows that are going on. So Maggie Kling, Peter Kling, all of these shows, they're absolutely wonderful. I hope that you enjoy them all as much as I do. Such good people. We're all blessed. This is a big joint venture with all of us, and that's the way we've all made it. So I'm very blessed to these people. I love them very much. And can't thank them enough. Anyway, with that, you guys take care. Have a great week, okay? And don't get mad. Try to step back from that anger, from all that rage or anything else that's going on, and turn around and walk away from those evil thoughts, or at least think about them before you do them. What if God were right here in front of me? And make that change. It's going to take time. Time to heal, time to make those changes, and it's very, very hard to do. I know it's very, very hard to do. I'm still making them. We're a work in progress, but our relationship with God should never end. It's like going to school. We're at kindergarten, and then we're at grade school, then we're at junior high, high school, graduated from high school, going to college for an associate's degree, getting the bachelor's degree, getting the, moving on, you know, after that degree, moving on to doctorates or whatever else. But all through life, we are continually learning Christ God. And we should do that with our significant others, our spouses, and everything else. That's not an easy thing to do. But you do have to put it into a perspective. Put God first. You have to have Christ God. He has to be in the middle of everything. Everything you have, everything you do, anything that you have out there, you're going forward, God must be in it. So he's got to be in it for you to win it. And that's the way I look at it. So next week, guys, we'll get back right at it. God bless. Take care.